Welcome to another life-changing message preached live at Hope City Church. We hope you'll be encouraged and inspired by God's word to live your best life yet. So get ready to hear from God as you enjoy the message.
I'm doing something really different this morning because when I heard what was happening yesterday, I felt the Holy Spirit completely change what I was going to speak about this morning. And so it's sort of just handwritten and it's fresh, and it's, I just feel that God's got a word for you. And I'm going to start, before I get onto this, by speaking about what's gone on in my life over the last, since July. And in July, I made a decision in my heart. And the decision was, now every year, I normally go to Sydney to the Every Woman Women's Conference in Sydney. And I made a decision this year that I wasn't going to go. Now, the decision I made was deliberate, and it was based on this. My son lives in Sydney, and he's choosing to live in Sydney, and it could be worse. He's not into sex, drugs, and rock and roll. He's in the worship team at Oxford Falls. So, you know, it's not like he's running away from God. And I just felt in my spirit that I needed to truly let him go. Let him run. Let him be. So I decided not to go. And the moment I decided not to go, the Holy Spirit spoke into my spirit and said, I'm going to give you a new home. Wow. Yeah, that was wow. The rest wasn't. But it's truly been the fight of my life. Like, I have literally dealt with legal papers every day since mid-July. There's been hiccup after hiccup after hiccup. There's been five people in the chain. And it was so stressful. We moved not last Monday, the Monday before. It was so stressful that we had the house packed up and everything in the van and still had not exchanged contracts. And I had a woman of faith pack in the house. I was starting to get quite panicked. Like, what happens if we've packed up everything we own and it's over? And you got to constantly go back to what God said. So I kept having go back in my spirit. God said to me, I'll give you a new home. And there was a woman of faith in my house, and she said, as soon as those doors on that van close, well, three vans, we lived there 15 years. We still have Lego. We've got everything. We still have teddies. Oh, I shouldn't tell you that. Might embarrass him. They're not Dave's. They were Ryan's when he was a child. So she said, as soon as the doors close on the back of that van, she said, it's going to exchange, and it did. But I knew, whilst I was fighting for my home, that I was actually fighting not just for me. I was aware that this fight that I was going through was so profound. I mean, you've got no idea the stress that it was. I'll do a message on it sometime because it was quite incredible. But I was aware that I was actually fighting principalities and powers, not just on my behalf, but on the behalf of a whole new season for Hope City Church. I was very aware of it. And it's interesting, since Dave and I have moved, four other people that I know of in church in Sheffield, houses have come through in the week after. But what I do believe is that I was fighting the new season for the new building in Sheffield, for our building to sell. I was fighting the new season, because this is what senior pastors do that you don't see, is we fight the big chaps on your behalf. And I've truly been fighting a season because I sense there's something coming for us as a church that's very profound. And just yesterday, you tussled with it. You know? And I was speaking to a lady in Sydney who I really admire, a prophet called Vicky Simpson. I said, Vicky, what's going on here? And she was talking to me, and this is going to be funny one day. But she said, I see a big principality in power like an ugly man. I'm going to call him Mr. Potato Head, which is great because I'm just naming Mr. Potato Head in my prayers now. And she said, and I don't normally speak like this, so this is interesting, okay? She said, I see this big demon, this principality in power trying to hold back the church of the living God. And as you persist and as you keep at it and as you don't move, the principalities and powers and the ugly Mr. Potato Head will fall. Wow. And so I believe that the persecution that you are facing right now is literally because the enemy is scared. And we need to persist. And we need to keep on moving towards the goal, to what God has called us heavenward in Christ Jesus, you know? Because I can tell you right now that if as a church we are going through a season that's tough and hard and we feel the persecution, you are as well. Because I know what happens in the life of the church. You need to hold on because your breakthrough is a moment away. Your breakthrough is literally a moment away. I haven't fought the way I've fought, not only house, but ill health and all sorts of crazy stuff over the last 3 months for nothing. I've fought on your behalf, and I know that the God of the breakthrough is a heartbeat away for your life in Jesus' name. Is anybody with me? If you believe him this morning, give him a hand of praise. I'm going to talk to you today about, firstly, a little bit of my story and how that relates to what I feel what's happening in the life of London, okay? So when I was born, I was the baby that was not meant to be born. Now let me explain. Every time I move, I've got a little bit of a ghostly creak, haven't I? I was a baby that was not meant to be born. Many of you know, but some of you don't know, that I am the baby of a gang rape. And so when I was conceived, my birth mother was told by her father that she ought to abort me. And she decided, what an incredibly brave woman, 1966. It was a stigma back then. It wasn't like treated as rape. It was treated as you had that coming, was the attitude. And she very bravely decided to go against the flow, decided to go against everything that everybody was telling her. She decided that there was destiny upon my life, upon this little baby girl, and she chose to go into a single mother's home in Brisbane, and Brisbane, Australia, and chose to give birth to me. Now, I was adopted at 10 days old, and I'm very grateful for that because I was adopted into two wonderful parents who love Jesus and who are both in heaven cheering us on now, because I'm really, really old now. So that your parents don't last forever. And so I was adopted in this beautiful home. But I was the baby that was not meant to be born. And there was always a plan of the enemy to abort the baby before it's born. There's always a plan of the enemy to somehow stop the dream of God over his church and the dream of God in your life from taking place before it's born. So hell and high water will break loose in your life. I never preach like this, but I'm being very specific today. Hell and high water will break through in your life just before God wants to bring about an incredible deliverance and an incredible plan and incredible purpose for your life. I'm going to have to put my glasses on, I concede. Because the enemy wants to swipe out the outworking of the dream that God has placed in your heart, and he wants to swipe it out before it comes to pass. And so we've got to be incredibly aware that we have an enemy that prowls around like a lion waiting to devour your purpose, to devour your destiny, to devour the dream of God. And it's very easy to give up to the abortion plan of the enemy over our lives one day before the outworking of the purposes of God. So if the enemy thinks that we are going to be discouraged by a venue change, he's tussling with the wrong group of people, because we know our Heavenly Father has a purpose and a plan that is far, far bigger than a venue. Give God a hand of praise this morning. So I'm going to read to you this morning in Matthew the story of Mary. Just three verses here from Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 21. It says, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in his mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Wow. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was pregnant. She was pregnant with the dream of God for mankind. Oh, I need to get contact lenses. But she was also pregnant with a problem. And sometimes we think, if I don't have the peace of God or everything's not going to plan here, I cannot be outworking the dream of God. Wow. That is not true. Mary was pregnant with the dream of God for mankind, but she was also pregnant with a massive problem. She was an outcast of society. Now listen, if your friend came to you today and said to you, I'm pregnant by the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't believe them. You think you have been up to something after 11 o'clock, because don't pastors say nothing good happens after 11 p.m. unless you're married. You wouldn't believe that. So Mary was in the exact same situation. She was pregnant with a problem. And it went on from there, because not only was she ostracized, but then they had to protect the dream. It was controversial. She was chased down. If I read to you in Matthew 2, I'm going to read you a passage of scripture here, 13 to 21. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Go up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, pardon me, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. And then it goes on, after Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead. This dream that God had, that was outworked through Mary and Joseph, was traced down through adversity. They were moved from place to place to place. And it was the plan of God. I want you to understand this morning, they were moved from place to place to place, and it was the plan of God, because the Holy Spirit was outwitting the secular voice of society. So I want to speak into the life of this location this morning that the Holy Spirit this morning is outwitting the plan of the enemy. That God, your master, your king this morning is not only one step, but is 100 steps ahead. 100 steps ahead. He knows exactly what he's doing with the life of this location of Hope City Church. I don't know about you, I'd be happy with that. I'd go home with that today. I'd go home with knowing today that the adversity that you personally are going through right now, you need to know this morning that the plan of God is well and truly alive in your life. Turn to your neighbor this morning and say, the plan of God is well and truly alive. Well and truly alive this morning. And so the dream of God lived through every attempt at derailment. Every attempt at derailment. And you saw what Jesus went through to bring about the redemption of mankind. But he decided in his heart that he was determined to stay his course. Do you know, I've said over the years, there have been many times that I could have got on the first jet out. I was brought up on the beaches of Surfers Paradise in Queensland, Australia. I have a visa. I can go. But I'm determined that I will never give up on the dream and the plan of God that he has for our church. I will never give up on the dream and the plan of God that God has for the work of City Hearts. I just discovered in the car on the way down. Like, I knew that Dave and I had to go to some random thing in London in a couple of weeks. I just discovered in the car on the way down that I'm going to dinner at the House of Lords. So my first thought was a new dress, obviously. I thought, that's an outfit decision. Ladies, isn't it? That's an outfit decision. Dinner at the House of Law. I'm not quite sure what you wear to that. Wonder, maybe a Hillary pantsuit. Who's going to stay up Tuesday night and watch that? Oh, I'm fascinated. I am. I'm absolutely fascinated. Will it be Huey, Dewey or Louie? So I want to say to you this morning, don't let the baby die before it's born. The enemy tries to swipe the unseen dream. Guard the deposit of God within you. Guard the deposit of God. Don't let the enemy snatch the purpose of God in your life. Don't allow the enemy to tell you. And the little lie comes into your ear. Hope City Church moves around every Sunday. They mustn't know what they're doing. No, do you know what? The Holy Spirit is one step ahead of the enemy. He's one step ahead. He knows exactly what he's doing. This is like creaky floor zone, isn't it? He's trying to be quiet with his chair now, aren't you? Do you know when I read about in the Bible, there have been so many babies that were not meant to end up in their destiny. I'm enjoying this. I want to read to you, I'll just tell you the story about Moses. And Moses was another baby that had an incredible destiny. Another baby that was whose life was hunted down because it had destiny upon it. And there's this amazing verse in Exodus 1:19. I just want to read this verse to you. And it's a crazy verse, and I'm going to read it, and you're going to think, how does that relate to life or Sunday or lunch or anything, right? And this is Exodus 1, verse 19. It says, Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They are vigorous and they give birth before the midwives arrive. Let me say that again. Hebrew women, Hope City Church people, are not like the secular people. They are vigorous and they give birth to their dream before the enemy comes and wipes them out. They are the people that hold on to their dream. You know, Moses' life was another life that was protected by God. If you read a little bit further on, let me read to you from Exodus 2, verse 1 to 9. I seriously need a new Bible, either a large print Bible or contact lenses. And I think I'll go with contact lenses because a large print Bible would be conceding to 50. And we're not doing any of that conceding in our house. I would concede, but Dave will not. So I'll have to get contact lenses. Let me read to you from Exodus 2, verse 1 to 9, the story of the birth of Moses. Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman. And she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Let me stop there before I go any further in this story. It says here that when she saw that he was a fine child, when God puts his hand upon your life and invests in the destiny in you, it then says that he was hidden for 3 months. Now, sometimes when God has a great destiny and a great investment for you, you sometimes feel like you're hidden away and that you're not being used by God. I want to speak right into that this morning, right now. Even as this little location of Hope City Church is hidden in the upper room. I can recall a story about an upper room experience. I can recall a story of an upper room when they were gathered together in one heart and in one place. And the Holy Spirit came and started a movement that 2,000 years later has touched the world. I want to sow vision into your spirit this morning. That you know that your hiddenness as a person and your hiddenness as a location is a plan of the heart of God. Because he is creating something in you that when the doors are opened and this place becomes incredibly public and incredibly obvious, you are ready for the task. Because let me tell you, when you are in London, you need to be ready for the task. You need to be palatable in the nicest possible way to a London audience. And so you at the moment are hidden in the palm of God's hand. Do you know, let me tell you a little bit about me. Do you know how long I worked for Hope City Church and never got paid? Some guesses. Guesses, people. Guesses? You're close. 17 years. 17 years I was hidden away. And then God did something. For many years, for 9 years or 8 years, we slogged away at City Hearts, and all of a sudden, do you know, right now we have over 200 people in our care and 100 staff. People have got no idea what God is doing behind the scenes. But if you're happy to be hidden in the purposes of God, when God opens the door, you're ready to be presented. Are you with me this morning, church? I believe this morning that I'm speaking prophetically into the life of this location this morning. I'm not just speaking prophetic words over. This morning I'm giving you a prophetic direction as a location that you would understand this morning exactly where you're at. Because I don't know about you, if I can understand where I'm at, it's okay. You know, when I was going through this house thing, let me just say, with our house move, I did everything. David Anthony Gilpin, Pastor David Anthony Gilpin to you, was on an aeroplane all over the world. Let's state where Dave was while I was dealing with this. He was in San Diego on a beach. He was in Los Angeles. He was in Ghana. He was in Australia. Where else did he pop to? He's in Canada this weekend. He gave me a nice 10-day window to move house with me, which was kind of him. But Haley and I, this is my new PA Haley, who's from Australia. Haley and I packed up 15 years of living there and 30 years of marriage with two artificial hips. Haley and I did everything. We even got involved in the knocking down of a wall and the painting of a garage with a mallet. We filled an extra large skip twice over and then watched the gypsies come and take half or everything off the top. It was quite fascinating. Everything electrical just got dug. Actually, it was quite funny. They came to the door and the lady said, she came to the door and she said, I've just setting up house around the corner. And I said, listen, I said, I don't mind you taking stuff out of this skip, but don't lie to me. I said, your husband's got a van around the corner, hasn't he? Yeah, yes, he did. And he drove around and they picked everything out of the skip. I don't mind them taking it, but just don't tell me fibs because I didn't come down in the last shower. I'm 50. So I want to encourage you this morning. Are you feeling encouraged this morning that you are literally held this morning in the plan of God? We are going to be those people who deny the enemy his pleasure and endure to bring forth the dream. I'm just going to keep reading this passage about then when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. And then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. There's times in your dream you've been hidden and you feel quite nice. You know, sometimes it's quite nice being hidden, but you get too used to it. And then God displaces you and puts you in a dangerous basket on the side of a very big pond. And it's often at this point that you can derail your destiny. Because the comfort of the hidden place has become like a child's security blanket and God wants to push you out. So let me just throw it out there that you'd become comfortable in the nice little place that you'd got and God's going, no, I haven't got for that for you yet. I want you to be a people that are capable of up and moving. I want to move you from there and I want to move you in a basket on the side of a mainstream river. And so God literally in the last 48 hours has picked you up. It's no coincidence that I'm here this morning to show you this morning where what God has literally done over the 48 hours. When Dave called me from Canada and told me what was going on, I thought to myself, good. You know, sometimes you hear something and you go, oh, and then you think, no, checkmate, Holy Spirit, checkmate. You know what you're doing. No, he knows exactly what he's doing. And so he has placed you in a basket along the side of a river. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. And she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. This is one of the Hebrews' babies. And so we know the story that then that little baby, that little dream of God, was placed in the place where his destiny would be fulfilled. So I want to prophesy over this house this morning that God is literally, as I said, one step ahead of you. Let's say 100 steps ahead of the enemy this morning. He is picking you up. He is placing you in his incredible hands beside the river of destiny. And he is moving you to the place where you will fulfill your destiny. Come on, give God a hand of praise this morning, church. Do you know there are so many lives in the Bible that were threatened, but they always turned out to be the deliverers of nations? Do you know, the thought for this message actually came from an article a friend of mine wrote about me. And her name is Jane Evans. And for our 25th birthday, she wrote this article in our church magazine. And I'd never seen it. And she said, it always strikes me that the babies that were not meant to be born end up to be the deliverers of nations. And she was talking about my life. And the most stunning thing now is literally babies are being born out of rape in my care. And so now it's going to be the multi-generational deliverance of generations. But I'm here this morning to say to you, Hope City Church, individually and corporately, do not give up at this point on the plan of God. Because right now, he is picking you up and he's placing you beside the river where you will be moved to your place of destiny. Or would you stand with me this morning, church? Is this good? You kept me up last night, church. Because I wanted to come this morning with a thought. I was going to preach something completely different. And I wanted to come with something this morning that you would know exactly where you stand. And what I do know about church life is that because we are joined together as a body, often what I talk about corporately is what is going on in your life individually. Right now, you're fighting battles this morning. You're finding yourself in a place and you're thinking, my goodness, this is all going on. Don't give up on the dream. Don't give up on the plan of God for your life a moment before destiny is born. Don't give up just because it's hard. You know, Mary, we as I said before, she was pregnant with a dream, but she was pregnant with a big problem. My attitude to life is this: not will I have a problem today, which one will it be and how will the Holy Spirit solve it? Because that's what happens for lives that take ground. If we want to sit still in our lives, we won't have any problems or any issues to face or any Goliaths to slay or any demons to dismiss. If we don't want to be a growing church, in 50 years you could all be sitting here with a big meringue hat on your heads and comfortable shoes and this church has never grown. But if we want to be Goliath slaying and territory taking and people that actually fulfill the dream of God for our lives, we're going to face some problems. But as I said, God is a step ahead. I'm going to pray for you, church, this morning, corporately and individually. And I'm going to pray today that you have such a sense of faith in your heart that you would see this morning the plan, the purpose, the unfolding of God. Amen. That you would go away from this place this morning with such faith in your heart that God's got it. And if you have to move again, we will move again 100 times because we will not quit. We will not abort the plan of God before it's born. I want to tell you just before I pray about our Newcastle location. Our Newcastle location, it's been very small for a very long time. And Rachel and Simon refused to give up on the dream. It's literally growing so fast at the moment that they're having to buy chairs and stack people on top of each other. And it's just growing so fast. And they've got this footballer there called Shola. I don't know anybody. You probably don't know. He's probably an old man to all these. That's him. Like, famous guy. You know, come and been a part of the church. And it's just really exciting. But they held on. They didn't give up. They didn't give up on the dream. And like, we've got this amazing building and it's becoming too small. And I said to Rachel, suffer, double services for you. Because in Sheffield, when you preach, you have to do this twice. Which is quite hard work. But I just want to encourage you that God's got it. Lift your hands to God and close your eyes this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that the kingdom of heaven is advancing and forceful men and women lay hold of it. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord God, for every problem and adversity and seeming setback that we're facing. And we thank you this morning, Lord God, that you are Lord. Yes. Father, that you have never even stood up. You sit down. You're not perturbed, oh God, by the affairs of men. You're not perturbed by persecution or secularism, Lord God. Your word says you win in the end. That's what your word says. Father, your word says you win. Your word says today that you're victorious. Your word says today that you're king, that you're Lord, that you sit enthroned over the flood of mankind. And so this morning, God, we recommit ourselves again to the destiny and the plan of God. Father, we commit to doing hard and doing hard beautifully. We commit, Lord God, to being a people that go and go and go until we attain, Lord God, that which you have promised us. And so, Father, we look to you this morning. We lift our eyes, oh God, from where our help comes from. Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, whose foot does us move, who does not change, who remains faithful, who remains kind. Father, we look to the God of heaven and earth, the Redeemer, the Saver, the Healer, the one, oh God, that brings about ultimate victory. And Father, we thank you this morning that we are literally this morning parked up alongside the river that will take us to a destiny. And we give you praise for that this morning. Come on, give him praise in the name of Jesus.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We'd love to hear how God is working in your life through this ministry. If you've got a story to share, email us at mybestlife@hopecitychurch.tv. And why not join us this weekend for one of our weekend services? For details of a service near you or for more information about Hope City Church, visit us online at hopecitychurch.tv. See you next time.